All right, welcome to class today. Glad to see you here. Let's start off as I will typically start off my Mondays by looking over the online quiz. Did pretty well. I should comment. I will generally try to address things that I think were tricky or that many people got wrong. But some people will get a lot of them wrong. If you got something wrong that I don't spend time talking about now, I would strongly encourage you to use office hours, mine or the TA's, to clarify what you didn't understand. So this first part we were doing pretty solidly until we got to unless. Had a little bit of trouble with unless. Remember again that unless means or. Okay? It means the same thing as or. Almost all circumstances, right? So UVA is in Charlottesville unless cheese contains milk. This is a true statement because UVA is in Charlottesville. Also because cheese contains milk. Because cheese contains milk, we don't need UVA to be in Charlottesville. And because UVA is in Charlottesville, it doesn't matter whether cheese contains milk. It works either way. I understand that's not commonly how we think about unless, as we think about it as suggesting causality. But this is what it means logically. Also, we had some difficulty, less so, but with the Tychonovich can lick his elbow unless there's a pixie in my cabinet. Again, if we think about this in terms of either disjunction or implication, it still works here. If we think in the logical rather than causal sense, that we should not have this be true, which most of you got, but there was some difficulty here. So perhaps one of the things I should sort of emphasize here is when your intuition and what we have defined don't seem to agree, you generally should go with what we have defined. Over the course of the semester, we'll sort of retrain your intuition a little bit. But there's that to think about. Any other questions we should address about the first four of these? I'm just curious. Did any of you try licking your elbow when you read this? I actually have met people that can, but I can't. So anyway. All right. Considering there was some actual ambiguity in one of these, which we accepted either answer on, we were doing pretty well in question 5. Spot on for question 6. Huzzah. Glad to see that. And then question 7, oops, it was originally single select, and so we dropped it to 0 points. Because many people couldn't select multiple. This is, perhaps should have been 0 points anyway, because it's really more about English than it is about logic. I just wanted to sort of use this as a point to emphasize that English isn't like logic. And we have this other meaning of double negation, right? This idea of not means nothing, means true, doesn't actually always work. And these are some examples. And anyway, I don't know that there's a huge amount to say about this at this point. There are other examples of how we use the logical English wrong for emphasis. Well, this is perhaps the most popular of them. Questions about this one? All right. So, any other thoughts, comments, questions about how things are going, questions about the course, anything you want to know? Yeah?
You said unless it's or and but is and.
Yes. With, again, very rare exceptions, such as when or is and. But in almost all cases, that's what you should think. Other questions? Okay. Let me just say a word about the quiz we took on Friday. I have a meeting with our TAs tomorrow where we will grade that. And then we'll spend some time talking about the results of that in class on Wednesday. I am hopeful that we'll get it fully graded and so forth and back to you at that point. It will not come back in paper. It will come back on the progress site, which I think is set up for everybody. But since the ad deadline isn't till today, I will double check, I'll re-upload the roster tomorrow just to make sure. If you added the class recently, got off the waitlist recently, and have missed some assignments, let me know about that. I'll say a little bit more about that on Wednesday when that has finalized. I also want to talk just a little bit about sort of this meta-level question about what we're doing right now. Last week, we taught you some English. I shouldn't put it over in one side or the other. We taught you some English, what some words mean, and we taught you what is called Boolean arithmetic. Are these easy or hard? This is a question I just want to address briefly so you can sort of validate your own experiences. English is something we start teaching people when they're one. And arithmetic is something we start teaching people when they're five. And now I just taught it to all of you. And so that may sound like I'm teaching you easy stuff. Until you think about the fact that we teach people English for years. Many years. And then we teach people arithmetic. How long did it take you to learn basic arithmetic? Let's just say, how long in school did you spend talking about these operators? Anybody happen to remember when you first and last were taught about these things? It was at least a year. At least 2 years. At least 3 years. At least 4 years. At least 5 years. Okay, we're starting to lose hands. You spent years on this. How long did we spend? About an hour. Okay? Now, admittedly, there are fewer things to say about and, or, and not, implication, XOR, and by implication, than there were about these others. They're just fewer values. We could enumerate them all and so forth. But we're still going really fast through material that you could have learned when you were young, but didn't. And we're going to keep doing that for a while in this class. And so there's this weird thing that, like, the concepts are not things that require a lot of maturity to understand. In that sense, the concepts are easy. But the pacing may be a little hard. Because we teach you Boolean arithmetic 1 week, and then I'm just going to assume you know it for the rest of the semester. And so this is going to keep going for a little while, and I just wanted to sort of mention this and validate it. We'll try to sort of let you have multiple opportunities to do things and give you a little experience. But we're not going to spend a year teaching you Boolean arithmetic and making it automatic. We're just not. And sorry, welcome to college. So just wanted to have that little aside before we dive into what we're going to do today, because what we're going to do today is Boolean algebra. And we'll basically get through this today. We'll do a little bit on Wednesday. And then have you show us that you know it on Friday. Whoa! All right. Let me just briefly say a word about Boolean. Probably you have heard this before in your intro to programming experience. But Boolean is named after a person whose last name was Bool. So it is officially always supposed to be capitalized because it's a person's name. Who started thinking about truth and false and what you can do with it. And so we're going to be dealing with the algebra of Booleans, the algebra of true and false today. And when we think about algebra, let's just start with just ordinary algebra. If I write something like this, and I want to know, is it equal to this? Because you've all had algebra, at least in theory, you probably just know the answer is yes. But something is going on for you to know the answer is yes. Now, the truth table approach, the arithmetic approach to trying this out, would be we would enumerate all possible values of x and y and see if it works. Let's start doing that. Okay, we're not going to get very far, but we'll just start. Let's say if it's 0 and 0, then that's 3 times 0 plus 0. That is all going to just be 0, which equals 3 times 0 plus 3 times 0, which is all going to be 0. Check. Okay, and then we could go to 0 and 1, and we could do it again.
which is going to be 3, and that is going to be equal to 3 times 0 plus 3 times 1, which is going to be equal to 3, and check.
Now, you probably didn't learn algebra this way, because when do we stop writing the table? We don't, because there are infinitely many numbers, and so you probably just told the rules. We started with the tables, and we'll still use them a little bit as we're going along, but there are going to be rules we're going to teach you. Rules, algebra rules. Rules of manipulating symbols that are true or false, and their operators, regardless of what value they have, just like the rules of algebra. They're going to be somewhat similar, somewhat distinct from the rules of algebra. We're going to have our own set of algebraic rules that we're going to talk about, so that we can manipulate, and in particular, simplify expressions before we have to get to this last step. We're going to be particularly interested in simplification, in reducing the complexity of what we say. And in general, there's going to be more simplification available in Boolean algebra than in sort of the standard arithmetic style algebra, because of the limited number of possible cases. We're just going to dive through some basic Boolean algebra rules today. Let's start with the simplest one. Okay, now, I'm going to say several things about this. The texts and the readings for today and the readings for Wednesday will describe some of this in more detail. But first thing I want to know is this little symbol right here. We use a 3-line equals instead of a 2-line equals. We will also use 2-line equalses later. But a 3-line equals means equivalent to, is said equivalent, as opposed to equal. And this is actually an assertion about the state of the universe. This is claiming that the left and right things are the same. Okay, I'm telling you they are the same. This is not a similar kind of idea to saying this. Remember, the by implication, the double arrows, is true if both sides are true or both sides are false, and false if they are different. Okay? This is going to itself be either true or false. This is an expression that evaluates to a truth value. This is an assertion about the universe. Well, I guess in this case, about the expressions. Okay? There's some similarity here, and we'll dive a little bit more into this in weeks to come, but we're going to use this triple line when we know that something is true. And the texts talk about the difference between equivalence and tautology and so forth, which I hope will be useful reading. I'm not planning to spend a lot of time on today. If you have questions about it, we'll take some of those on Friday, or on Wednesday, rather. So, we're going to start with this assertion of equivalence. I am saying this is true regardless of the true value of P. And you got to see a little bit about this on the quiz, as we had some examples of this. Now, the truth table of this is pretty straightforward, so let's just go ahead and do that. P could be true, or it could be false. It's going to be a 2-row per truth table. And then I have not P, and I'm going to spread it out a little bit. So the not of P is the opposite of P, and then the not of that is going to be the opposite of that. And you will notice that the original column and the final column are identical. If you can work through your truth table and end up with identical columns, you have found an equivalence. Okay? And there are other ways to define equivalences, but this is probably the simplest one. If two columns of a truth table have the same in values from top to bottom, they are equivalent statements. And so not turns out to be equivalent to nothing at all. Now, because this is algebra, we get to use this arbitrary places. Anywhere you find not, you can replace it with nothing, regardless of what else it is combined with. So if I had something like not, P and Q, something like not, R implies,
The fact there's other stuff around makes no difference. I can still just remove the not-not. Okay? I can just take that away without changing the meaning of what I am saying in logic. So this is our first equivalence rule. Some equivalence rules have names. This is called double negation. Okay? Questions about this rule? Alright, I will also comment that rules work both ways. So I'm allowed to remove double negations, I'm also allowed to add them anywhere I want. So I could, for example, have written this not, 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 R implies not, 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 P, and not, not, Q. And I still would have been fine. Oh, you know what? I can even put this whole thing in parentheses and add some more not nots in front. Right? Any pair of nots is the same as not a pair of nots. I can add them, I can take them away. They have no meaning when they are in pairs. All right. Double negation. Let's look at some others. Let's start with these others. These other three simplification rules. Anything ended with false is false. Okay? Because and is only true if both things are true. If I end with false, I just get false. I don't care what the other thing was. I can throw away the other thing. Because I'm ending with false, it's just false. And if I'm ending with true, it's just the other thing. So and true is like not not. It does nothing. I can add or remove and trues anywhere I want. They have no meaning in my algebra. False works the other way around. Or false means nothing. And or true just turns everything into true. And so we have these four basic simplification rules, five if you count double negation, is five ways of simply reducing the size of expressions, making them smaller or larger if you use them in the other direction. Okay? Now, we have something like this in standard sort of numeric algebra as well. Okay? We have, for example, if I were to say times zero, or times 1, or plus 1, plus 0, or plus 1. No, not plus 1. Plus 1 doesn't work. Okay? So for three of these, we have this, and we actually have minus minus here. Okay? So we have a similar idea in math. Adding 0 to something just does nothing. Multiplying by 1 does nothing. Multiplying by 0, it doesn't matter what you multiply, it just becomes 0. Minus minus does nothing. These concepts of simplifications are not unique to Boolean algebra. They also exist in numeric algebra. The details of them are a little different, right? There isn't an equivalent add something to something and it just doesn't matter what you added it to, like there is for OR. But we do have these ideas of simplifications in standard arithmetic as well as in Boolean algebra. Questions about these? Yes?
Do the other rules have names as well? Or just double negation?
Yeah, so sometimes they're called the identity and zero of the operator. That term is used fairly rarely. So almost everything we're going to talk about today does have a name. I'm only going to mention the name if I think you're going to see it often enough in your life that you ought to not sound surprised when you hear it. And I should also just comment, part of my goal in this class is to teach you what you'll need later on, and part of my goal in this class is to teach you enough that you won't sound stupid. Okay? Because there's a level of vocabulary that is used as by culture at large as a proxy for education. People see, do you use words right to say, were you well educated? Because it's too hard to find out if you're well educated. So we're going to try to teach you how to use the important words right. Other questions about these before we move forward? Okay.
From these comes all kinds of rubbish. Now, you could memorize this whole table if you just love memorizing things. You don't really need to. We're going to teach you all the rules to get these from the others, okay?
There are ways of getting things to vanish with implication and by implication, the exclusive or and or. And same thing for to getting to not, to negating things, and so forth.
There's lots of different sort of two-term expressions that turn down into one-term expressions for all the different operators.
They're probably not worth memorizing, but just to sort of show what I mean about you can get there,
let's just pick one and sort of walk through how it works.
So, somebody pick me a row, 1 through 4. Somebody name a number between 1 and 4.
3.
All right, somebody name a column between 1 and 5.
3.
All right, great, we're going to try this one. Okay, PX or not P? Let's just see if we can figure out what this is. Let's start by just doing the full truth table, and then we'll see if we can figure out something slightly simpler. So, how many rows do I need in my truth table? 2. I've got false and true.
Okay. I have false and true, and now let's do the not first.
So the not is going to be true and false. And then let's do our XOR. So the XOR of false and true is true. The XOR of true and false is true. This is the same as true. Okay? If you need to create the truth table, you can.
You can also try, what does XOR mean? XOR is true if its two terms are different.
If I have P on one side and not P on the other, the terms are always different. So I'm always going to have true. Okay? And so, in most cases, when you have an operator and the terms on the two sides of it, they have the same form, possibly negated, or they have just a truth or a falseness. If we look at a column, you'll see like the XORs, we have false XORed something, true XORed something, it XORed with its negation, it XORed with itself.
All of those simplify somehow. And we'll see that same kind of thing for each of the other columns. You AND something with itself, something with its negation, something is true, something is false, it always simplifies.
Same thing with OR, same thing with by implication. Implication is slightly more complicated because it's directional, unlike these other ones.
But again, we see these same core ideas, that things by themselves turn into something, things with trues and falses turn into something, things with negations turn into something.
And so if you see any expression of that form, a single operator where the things on both sides are either literally true or false, or have the same form on both sides, there's going to be a way of simplifying it. Sometimes you'll be able to figure it out on your own, sometimes you want to write a quick little truth table, but they all simplify. Questions about this? Okay, I should also comment, this is also not unique to Booleans, right? So if, for example, you see something like x plus x, it's going to simplify, right? That's going to turn into 2x. And you see something like x minus x, that's going to simplify. It's going to turn into 0. And you see something like x times x, you're going to turn into x squared, right?
And the fact that this is true is not unique to Boolean algebra. When you apply operators to themselves, or to negated forms of themselves, or to sort of these special values that make everything work out nicely, you end up with clean behavior.
All right. Let's go here. All right. Let's talk about some terms you are almost certainly taught some point in your life, but I'm guessing at least half of you just didn't bother remembering what they meant. Because why should you? We're now going to use them again. We're going to talk about the associative and commutative properties of operators. I think that's right.
These are properties of operators. Okay?
So a particular operator, let's start with just some basic arithmetic, plus.
Plus is either commutative or it isn't. It's either associative or it isn't.
What do we mean by associative? By associative, we mean parentheses.
Can you add and remove parentheses? If you can add and remove parentheses, you can change which terms are associated with which other terms, which operators are happening first, and it's associative.
So for example, 2 plus 3 plus 5, this is an associative expression. I can put parentheses here, I can put parentheses here, either way is the fine. It doesn't matter what's going on. So if I'm allowed to add and remove, it's associative. So associative means they can be added and removed. Okay?
Not all operators are associative.
For example, minus is not. Right? This expression is going to be 2 minus 3 is minus 1, minus 5 is minus 6. Whereas this expression, 3 minus 5 is minus 2, 2 minus minus 2 is 4.
They are not the same. Minus is not associative, plus is associative. And you learned all of these and were drilled them enough that you learned them so well you probably don't remember the words, even if you were taught them. You may, and that's great. But some operators are associative, some are not.
We also have the commutative property. Okay? The commutative property means you can rearrange.
And if you need to remember these, right, associate, you associate with the people you're around, right? So we have this idea that changes, you can look at who you're around with the associative property. Commute is something you do when you travel. And a commutative operator means the values can travel across it.
So again, plus is also commutative. Let's do a different color for this. So 2 plus 3 plus 5 and 5 plus 2 plus 3 are the same thing. I can commute the values. I can move them around without changing the meaning. Subtraction is not. 2 minus 3 minus 5 and 5 minus 2 minus 3 are not the same thing. In fact, for commutative, I don't even need to bother having three terms. It's sufficient to just say, can I swap the order of an adjacent pair? Okay? And I can't for a subtraction, I can for addition.
So addition is associative and commutative. Subtraction is neither one. We're also going to have associative and commutative operators and not for some operators when we're doing Boolean algebra. So before we get to the Booleans, questions about these concepts of commutativity and associativity.
Okay. Let's think about our operators. Let's try to do them in some sort of vaguely sensible order. Okay. And we're going to ask, are they associative and are they commutative?
For not, it doesn't make sense to ask the question.
Okay? For not, this is nonsensical. It's not that they are, it's not that they aren't.
It's that commutativity and associativity are properties of operators that have more than one operand. And not doesn't. It makes no more sense to ask this than it does to think about negation as being associative or commutative.
So this isn't a thing to say about not. And is both. It's associative and commutative.
You can swap the order of the two things without changing the meaning. If you've got three of them, you can add parentheses around any pair of them.
Well, I guess not the ones on the outside, but with commutativity, you can do that too. So you can change the parenthesization, you can change the order, it's fine. That is also true of OR.
Okay? You can swap around the association and commutation of OR as well.
It is also true of XOR.
Okay? They can move around, they can be reparenthesized, everything is fine.
But then we get to ones where it's not. You can't do either one with implication.
Okay? Implication is directional. So swapping what thing is in front by a commutation changes its meaning. And it also doesn't associate. A implies B implies C isn't meaningful unless I tell you which one happens first. They have different meanings, depending on whether it's A implies B implies C or A implies B implies C. Those are different statements.
By implication is a weird one because so far everything's been both or neither, and that's actually true of most numeric operations as well. But by implication is only one. By implication is commutative, but it is not associative.
Okay,
and so let's just look briefly at this idea and try to explore this a touch more. So if I have A, by implies B, by implies C.
Okay, I'm saying this is not associative. Which means I must know which way it's parenthesized. Okay?
And so I'm saying that this and this other one are different statements.
We could solve this with an 8-row truth table and even verify that they're different. We can also think about this just thinking about the English idea of what it means. Okay?
A by implies B means the idea that A and B are the same thing.
Right? So, it's raining is the same as the sidewalk is wet, kind of idea.
Of course, that one isn't perfectly true, but right, they don't have to be. It's the idea that if these two things are the same, that's also what C means.
So this first one is true when C means that A and B are the same.
The second one is true when A means that B and C are the same. Those are different kinds of ideas. They don't work with each other. However, because are the same is effectively what this means, I am free to swap the order.
Commuting them is fine. If A is the same as B, then B is the same as A. If A is not the same as B, then B is not the same as A. It works both directions.
And so my implication is associative, but not commutative, but not associative.
Thoughts, comments, questions about this? Yeah?
Why is the exclusive OR associative when my implication is not?
Yeah, it's a great question.
Why? What do you think? What's the closest, if we're trying, we said, okay, if the same is a good way of saying by implication, what would exclusive OR then be like saying?
It's not the same.
Yeah, it's different. Okay? So,
A is different than B is different than C. I'm not defining what C means. It's a little bit tricky to figure out, but because it's negated, because it's the negation of by implication, it has different properties.
It's some level that's sort of like, why is addition and subtraction different? One's just the negation of the other, except they behave very differently, and we have that same kind of idea here.
Other questions? Okay. So, let's just try a little practice. A or B and C.
Okay, if I write this expression, OR is associative and commutative, and associative and commutative, is this the same thing as A and C or B? Chat with anything next to, see if you can agree on the answer to this question.
Hey.
let's just take a quick vote. I think yes, they're equivalent. I think no, they're not. Oh wow, we're split almost exactly in half. Amazing. All right, before we answer this question, I'm gonna ask a couple of leading questions I probably should have asked before I got here so we can sort of understand a simpler thing. Let's think about addition and multiplication. Is addition associative? Is it commutative?
Yes.
Is multiplication associative?
Yes.
Is multiplication commutative?
Yes.
Is x plus y times z the same thing as x times z plus y?
No.
No. What? Why not? Okay, commutativity and associativity are properties of operators, single operators. They are not properties that span groups of operators. You actually can discuss the commutativity of a set of operators. We won't in this class at all, okay? So this is not the same. And that is also true here. Okay, even though and is associative and commutative, even though or is associative and commutative, and or are not mutually associative or commutative. As a matter of fact, both of these sides are ill-defined. I can tell you whether you should and first or first. And you'll get different answers if you do each one. If you do the and first, you get one answer. You do the or first, you get a different answer in the truth table at each side. And so we have these sort of, it isn't fully defined. That's also the true of our additions and multiplications. Okay? We need to know which one comes first. And so, when you are spending time in grade school and people were making you memorize things you didn't know why, you were forced to memorize the order of operations. And I could do that, but really, meh, just add parentheses. Okay? There is an order of operations for all of our logical operators. They are reasonably universally agreed upon, and you can learn them if you want. But in this class, if you have operators of different kinds, or operators are not associative, add parentheses. Okay? Don't leave them like this. Put some parentheses around them. So let's do this just to match the implicit parentheses in our multiplication addition example. Okay? But always put your parentheses in if you've got more than a single operator and they aren't all an associative type. And then if you start working through the truth table here, you're going to end up with very different circumstances. Just to take an example, the second one is true in all cases where B is true. Can you come up with an example where B is true and the first one is false? Yeah, if B is true but C is false, then the second half becomes false. And then if A is false, the whole thing becomes false. So if I have the false, true, true, false case, which would be false, false, true on this side, they'll be different values. And we could come up with some others as well. Okay? But they're not going to be the same in general. These are properties apply only to a single operator. Thoughts, comments, questions? Okay. Now we're going to teach you the three weird ones. Okay? Three rules worth remembering. They're not necessarily intuitive, but will allow you to do pretty much everything else you're going to need to do. P implies Q is equivalent to not P or Q. This can be relatively easily verified by a truth table. The only case where implication is false is when the antecedent is true and the consequent is false. That's also the case of our disjunction here. But this allows us to go back and forth between implication and disjunction. We very often want to do this. And the reason we very often want to do this is in English we like to talk about implication. Implication has nice behavior for the things we want to assert. But implication isn't associative or commutative. It's hard to play with. Disjunction is both. So if we can turn our implications into disjunctions, then math becomes easier. It's easier to do the algebra. We fix it all around until we're done simplifying, and then we change them back to implications so we can say something reasonable in English. So you'll use this one a lot. We'll use this over and over again all semester long. This is an important identity to understand. The next one has two variants. Okay, we have the not A and B is the same thing as not A or not B. And we have the parallel version where we swap our ands and our ors. So we have not A or B is the same thing as not B and not A. I shouldn't have swapped my order there, although it doesn't matter because they're associative, but or commutative rather. These collectively are known as De Morgan's laws, and you will hear them called that not very infrequently. You'll hear people talk about De Morgan's law. Technically, these are two different identities, but they're commonly referred to together in the singular version, De Morgan's law. De Morgan is a person that published the knowledge of this fact. There were people before De Morgan that knew this fact, but De Morgan published it. Okay. And it's worth understanding that this is not unique. I mean, this is something you sort of intuitively know. Okay. If I say you can't do both of two things, okay, you can't be enrolled in this class and not enrolled in this class at the same time. Not and. That is the same thing as saying you are either not enrolled in this class or not enrolled in this class. That was a bad example, right? Let's say you can't be in California and Virginia at the same time. You're not in California and Virginia. That means you're either not in California or you're not in Virginia. Maybe you're in neither, okay? But this idea of negation of a conjunction becomes a disjunction of negations, however you want to word it. That's probably a more complicated way than you want to say. This is sort of intuitive, and it works on the other side as well, okay? So I say you can't be either of two things. It means you must not be the first and you must not be the second. This is De Morgan's law. This is important because it allows us to move knots into and out of operators. And moving knots around will be important often, especially because our implications are going to generate knots and they're not going to be where we want them. Yes?
Is the first one not A or not B, is that the same as an exclusive OR?
It is not the same as an exclusive OR. Right? An exclusive OR is A or B and not A and B, which is different than not A or not B. So not A or not B is true in 3 out of the 4 cases. Exclusive OR is true in only 2 of them. Other questions? Okay. The distributive laws. First, let's think briefly about what this looks like for numbers. I am allowed to say something like 3x plus y and turn that into 3x plus 3y. I can distribute the multiplication of 3 across the summation. Distribution of ands across ors and ors across ands both work in logic. Okay, so I can say P and Q or R. That's the same thing as P and Q or P and R. Same idea. That and gets distributed across the same way the multiplication did. It works the other direction as well. So P or Q and R also does that same thing. This is also the same as P or Q and P or R.
in working in both directions is unlike numbers, where multiplication distributes over addition, but addition does not distribute over multiplication. But it also makes it simple. You don't have to remember which one's which. Ands and ors distribute across each other. And so this will also be something we'll want to do. We'll want to both distribute, and we'll also want to go the other direction. We'll want to factor, right? The same ideas we had in arithmetic. Sometimes you want to distribute, sometimes you want to factor. You also want to do that in logic. Sometimes you want to distribute, sometimes you want to factor as you're trying to arrive at a simpler form. Questions about these three laws? Yes? So, does it only work for and or? There are distributive laws for some other operators, but we'll stick to just these two. I'm trying to teach you all of algebra in a day, so we're going to ignore some of the less used cases. Other questions? It doesn't work in general for all operators, so you can't pick arbitrary pairs of operators and distribute them. It does work for and or, and we will sort of leave it at that for now. All right, so these are also summarized here, along with two others, what by implication and what exclusive OR mean. We sort of used these terms to define them. By implication means A implies B and B implies A. Exclusive OR means OR but not AND. And so those are probably also worth knowing from time to time. One of the nice things about as we use all of these, because we can turn our by implication into implication, we can turn implication into OR, and our exclusive OR into ANDs and ORs, we can turn everything into ANDs, ORs, and NOTs, then play just with ANDs, ORs, and NOTs. And it'll be easier for us than trying to remember how all of the different rules work. There are a handful of others down below that you're welcome to look at and understand if you want. The textbook gives a few more beyond these, but these are the rules of Boolean algebra. What are we going to do with these? We're going to have to actually manipulate things in algebra. Okay? The textbook gives various both the textbook gives some examples and some practice exercises if you want to try out before we come back on Wednesday. On Wednesday, I'll do a few examples of that and also talk about how we write proofs a little bit so we can be ready for class on Friday. I will see you all on Wednesday.